Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome to the channel. It is Denise Salcedo. It is May 18th, and it is officially a birthday party. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to today's stream. Today, I turned 30 years old, and it's been a very great day. I will say I got a lot of very kind messages from people. Things have been blowing up. Very kind messages from so many people across all social media platforms, etc. So I first off want to start off by saying thank you so much. And yes, I am having a dynamite birthday stream here today. Before we get into all of that, there's just so much to say. May 18, AEW Dynamite was really freaking phenomenal. We got a lot of really good wrestling here tonight. A lot of news, a lot of movie, a lot of storyline progression. And on top of that, we got, you know, more matches announced for AEW Double or Nothing, etc. There is just a lot happening here today. We're going to go through all of that and more here today. But first and foremost, I do want to let you guys know that this is a very interactive show. At any point, please feel free to send in your thoughts, etc., as we go throughout the show. And if you do want to send in super chats to the birthday girl, you can. F4W Online does allow me to keep 100% of the proceeds from super chats after YouTube takes their cut. But either way, I thank you guys all ahead of time, and I thank you guys so much for being here. I'm gonna get right into these super chats, and then we're gonna get right into the show, because like I said, there is a lot of really good wrestling to talk about and just a lot of really good storylines stuff to talk about. Plus, we also have to talk about the Jokers, etc. Pile Driver Finisher kicks us off with our first super chat of the day, saying happy birthday, Denise. Simon Renshaw with another very generous happy birthday message. Thank you so much to Simon. Sheldon Jackson, another very generous super chat for a birthday stream. Matt Reichiel also sends in a super chat saying, happy birthday, Denise. Kenny is ready. You put him in an 8-man tag, Bucks and Red Dragon versus Darby, Hardys, and Kenny. Thank you so much to Matt Reichiel. I've met Matt in person. A very nice guy. Thank you so much for the very generous super chat. Also, shout out to Lake, who also just sent in a very generous super chat. Steve Joseph, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for sending these in, everybody. It really, really means a lot to me for you guys to send that in. Okay. I missed some. Oh, Jesus. All right. Oh, I missed some. Cadillac Carson says, happy birthday, Denise. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Keep on doing what you do, and you do an excellent job at it. Thank you so much to Cadillac Carson for all the continuous support. Cameron Mumford, a huge supporter of this show, says, happy birthday, Denise, and it landed in a good time and a good way to celebrate it. Dynamite was really good. It's a beautiful thing to see that putting on a good wrestling show is possible. It is definitely possible, and we've seen a lot of really good wrestling shows out there, everyone. So it definitely is possible. Thank you so much. I already mentioned, but I want to make sure I say thank you to Steve Joseph as well. All righty, guys. So let's get into this show. This was fun. Thank you so much to Taylor Cannon. Another shout out says, happy, happy birthday, Denise. Hope your day is as amazing as you are. Thank you very much. So let's get into this wrestling show, because there is tons. All right. We are going to kick things off with our Owen Hart Cup qualifier. Our own Owen Hart Cup tournament match. I'm so used. We had so many qualifiers. I'm so used to saying qualifier now. But we had Samoa Joe versus the Joker. And a lot of people had a lot of different predictions for who they were expecting the Joker to be. I would say that the top names that people were really throwing out there was legitimately like Cesaro. I think Cesaro was the number one name that I was seeing like across social media. And then the number two name that I would say, I did see a lot of Johnny Gargano's, etc. But it actually ended up being John Morrison, who is going by Johnny Elite here on AEW. As you guys know, he, you know, changes his names depending on the company that he's with. Really good stuff there. I was very excited when I saw that it ended up being John Morrison here tonight, because for one, I wasn't expecting him. Two, you know, he's been out there. You know, he was on Triple A. We saw him at GCW. I got to see him a couple of times at GCW. Even when he wasn't on the show, I saw him backstage at the GCW show at the Rock. Roxy, him and Taya. I saw them backstage. And, you know, he is such a freaking talented guy. And here's the thing about him. The number one thing that we were saying, I remember Sean and I, when we were doing our Raw post shows, is the number one thing with John Morrison is that he is very, very athletic, and he's there's a lot of potential there. I've seen him in lots of great matches, so many great matches, especially on the indies is where I feel like I've seen his best work, to be honest. And so on top of that, we were constantly always talking about how he really wasn't getting a chance to showcase that in WWE. Obviously, we did get to see little glimpses of it in the company, but I would say that we never saw it go like full throttle the way that you saw it on the indies. But with that being said, he ended up being the Joker going up against Samoa Joe. Now, there was a lot that I liked from this match. There was a lot of really good, solid stuff. I love that it kind of felt like a big deal, especially when you're in there with Samoa Joe. And, you know, John Morrison has legitimately made a name for himself in wrestling as well, having been in the business for quite some time. As you all know, he was laid off by WWE back in November 18th, and it was unfortunate. It was unfortunate mainly because you knew they never really unlocked the full potential with him, at least in his recent period, his recent run with WWE. Now, with all of that being said, I didn't think that this debut match in AEW was absolutely perfect. And the reason why I say that was because there was two very noticeable misses in this match where we had one, he hit the 450 splash, and then, but it didn't actually connect with Samoa Joe. So there were two spots that looked cool, just the landing. There was just too much of a distance between Samoa Joe and John Morrison. And so those two spots, to be honest, kind of took a little bit away from the actual debut, but everything else that they did in that match was legitimately really freaking good. But if it wasn't for those two spots, this would have been, I think, an even stronger debut for Johnny Elite. And it's going to take me a while because I'm so used to saying John Morrison. And immediately after this, a lot of people on my timeline were thinking like, oh, it's going to be Taya Valkyrie is going to be the Joker. Taya Valkyrie is going to be the Joker for the women. It did not end up going that way. But I mean, in a way, I'm glad that it wasn't, just because I think it would have been at that point maybe just a little bit too predictable. But there you go. That was the opening match there. Let's get into these super chats because we got quite a few to get into here today. Thank you so much to Christopher S., who says, happy birthday. Wasn't that Serena Deeb promo fire? She spoke facts with conviction. Wow, I can't read a super chat with conviction. AEW needs that energy, a mini pipe bomb. I love that, a mini pipe bomb. We're going to talk about this more because I want to get into the nuts and what is the crooks and crannies, the nuts and bolts, whatever that saying is. I want to get right into that a little bit more for Serena Deeb's promo. It started off a little bit rocky, but it connected in the end and it was very, very good. And there was a banger of a line that she had in there that I cannot wait to discuss. So thank you so much to Christopher for sending that super chat in. We have another one from Eric Brown. It says, happy birthday, Denise. You're the best, dude. Thank you so much. You have no idea how much I appreciate it. Nick Reader 13 says, happy birthday, Denise. AEW is a 3.5 out of 5 for me. If I'm going to rate it on a scale of 5, I would probably do a like 4 for sure, just because there were legitimately some really good matches here tonight. And mixed with, you know, a little bit of surprises and lots of storyline movement, matchups made, etc. Ryan Smith sends in a super chat saying, happy birthday, Denise. Your 30s are the best time. Congrats on all the success. God, I hope so. Everybody keeps telling me that the 30s are the best years of your life. Please, I hope they weren't lying. Chris Rain sends in a super chat saying, happy birthday, Denise. Hope it was a great one. Thank you so much, Chris. Nick Grosso sends in a super chat saying, first off, happy birthday. I just want to say that the Jokers were very underwhelming, especially the women's, and the Jeff Hardy-Adam Cole match was really mistimed. The Jeff Hardy-Adam Cole match legitimately did not get enough time, in my opinion. I think had we had a couple of extra minutes, it would have been more of a banger for sure, but it kind of just ended up being like a it was like a whatever's match. Like, there were some good moments, and we'll talk about that, but it wasn't anything to, you know, be so completely over the moon about, especially when there were other matches, in my opinion, on this show that were a lot better. So thank you to Nick Grasso for sending this in and for getting your opinions in here. We got a massive super chat from Brandon Rosen, who is extremely generous. Dude, thank you so much to Brandon. I was constantly on the show being supportive. Brandon says, happy birthday. You've kept me thoroughly entertained and somewhat sane during the pandemic. I always look forward to watching your podcast. Thank you for everything you do, and I hope that you had an awesome day. Dude, thank you so much. I always see you here in these podcasts, so thank you. Thank you. Kevin Bailey says, happy birthday. You are awesome. Thank you so much to Kevin. Josh Rozowska says, happy birthday, Denise. Thanks for everything you do. You're the sweetest. I drew you if you haven't seen it. This was a great dynamite. I think you might have DM'd me, and I need to go back and relook at that, but thank you so much for sending in this super chat as well, Josh. I appreciate it. Odyssey, the Beast sends in a super chat saying, I don't have anything to say other than keep up the great work with the show. Thank you very much. M. Durant sends in a super chat saying, the hardest working woman in wrestling podcasting. We love you, Denise. Next time Dirt Cheap Boy gives you flack, Sean, cut the shit. Happy birthday. Thank you very much. I appreciate your very, very generous super chat. God, you guys are awesome, man. All right, moving on to our next match here. Let's see. After this, we had, I essentially called this, and this was the second match of the night, and I ended up calling this the best match of the night at this point in the show. And then immediately after, or not immediately after, but later on, we had another really good match, and I was like, damn. They're really testing me here, man. This was Hangman Page versus Kenosuke Takasha. Sorry, I don't want to mess up. I keep messing up the name. And he did so good today, and I don't want to mess up his name. But anyway, we had CM Punk on commentary here today, and this was really fun. We essentially had what was a very, very how do I say this? This really. I think was the point of the start of the show. It was the catalyst, in my opinion, that really got the crowd fired up for the night, legitimately. I think this was the match that kind of set the tone for the night. And even though we had like that early surprise with Johnny Elite, I think it was this match that made the crowd sort of be like, oh shit, like we're here, we're present, we're gonna have a good time, etc. There was a lot of really good spots in here. Hangman firing up this match right from the start with a clothesline, with a crossbody. Hangman slamming Kenosuke. I'm gonna call him KT. I'm gonna call him KT because I'm butchering everything right now. Basically slamming him onto the ring apron, following that with a moonsault. That was absolutely phenomenal. Both guys going for double clotheslines at one point in this match, back and forth strikes. And honestly, I just want to say that to me, these are the matches that a champion should be having, like consistently going on the show and having matches like this, even if it's like, you know, not for the title or anything like that. I still want to see these types of competitive matches continuously, especially for the champion. So that was one of the things that kind of won me over as I was watching this match on here. We saw awesome power bomb executed as well. Loved the rolling elbow by Hangman Page. And then after this, we ended up seeing for the finish, we saw Adam Page hit the Buckshot Lariat and the GTS. And what I liked about this was that during this whole time, we had CM Punk on commentary, and he was kind of talking a little bit about having Hangman Page exactly where he wants him. And there was this point where when he hit the GTS, CM Punk looked happy. He looked like he successfully got under the skin of Adam Page. Because if you recall, when CM Punk hit what he's calling the Punk Shot Lariat instead of the Buckshot Lariat, when he hit that last week, Hangman Page was livid. He was pissed off. And we had very, very different reactions from both guys when the other guy essentially ended up doing their finisher. So I love this. Immediately after, we got this confrontation between CM Punk and Hangman Page. And this, for me, I've liked how they've steadily kept the momentum going for this, because even when it hasn't been like, you know, brawling back and forth or anything like that, you know, backstage, they've still been doing a good job of, I think, keeping the story hot. Like, at the end of the day, you have two competitors that regardless, people are going to be interested in. Like, even if this storyline, let's just say it completely and utterly sucked, I think people would still be interested because of the talent that we have in here. But regardless, I still think that they're doing a good job with keeping the feud feeling hot. And that's exactly what they're doing here. I was a fan of this. I'm still very, very highly interested in this Double or Nothing match. And man, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to add, but this was legitimately, at this point of the night, match of the night. I can't decide if it ended up being my match of the night, period, because we did have another good match that I can't wait to talk about. We got a super chat from Juan Rodarte. Thank you so much to Juan, who says, one second, I passed your super chat, says, the ending to Dynamite was nuts. I had flashbacks when Tony Schiavone said, we're out of time. Dude, they didn't do an overrun, did they? I don't think they did. My show always ends a little bit later because Sling TV always tends to be like a minute behind. So I could never tell if they do or if they don't, legitimately, just because I'm always behind on the show. But thank you so much to Juan for this very, very, very generous super chat. Pow Driver Finisher sends him one saying, it was nice. Love that clothesline from the top rope. It's cool, but I feel Punk injects himself. I get it, but he just sort of does nothing for me right now. Dude, I think he's doing a great job. I've been liking, like 2 weeks ago now when he did that promo on the outside of the ring where he was basically saying that everything up until this point was sort of like a test run. Like, everything aside from what he did with Eddie Kingston was nothing compared to what he's going to be doing with Hangman Page. And I know that this is not a prediction show, but I've already talked about this in the past, but I do think that CM Punk becoming champion is going to be the right thing to go with at Double or Nothing. I would be shocked if they didn't go with him as champion. Alrighty, so now let's go ahead and continue on from here. So after this, we had Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland versus JD Drake and Henry. One second, guys. So the thing that I want to talk about here is that, okay, so the main event, I did say, legitimately needed a little bit more time. I don't necessarily think we needed this match, but at the exact same time, you don't want to keep these guys always on Rampage, because I do feel like the majority of the time we're getting Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland on Rampage. So I'm glad that they actually gave them a match here today on Dynamite. I've been liking them as a team. They legitimately are a cool team. And the reason I say that is because you have Keith Lee, who is, you know, this intense powerhouse individual. You know, everything he does is very, very hard hitting. And then you have Swerve Strickland, who is very fast paced. He does really cool stuff. He shows his athleticism. He does, like, you know, unique spots. He's always trying something new in his matches. So you get this very nice combo, this like clash of styles that works very well together with Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. So I really enjoy them as a team, especially based on what we've seen so far. Hasn't been too much, but we've seen, you know, just enough to know that they're a pretty decent item. I'm glad they kept this match very short, because there was no need for this match to be like 5 minutes or anything like that. So I'm glad they kept it short. This was literally just them getting a win, announcing that they're in the top five of, you know, for the rankings of the tag teams. And afterwards, this essentially ended up leading to Christian Cage basically issuing a challenge for Double or Nothing and basically saying it's going to be three teams for the AEW tag team title. So I was a fan of this. It was quick and to the point. But let's just say if I was going to trim down or take anything off of the show, it would have probably been this, just to give more time to maybe the matches that, especially to your main event for sure. And let's see what we got here, guys. Thank you so much to Nicholas Jacobs, who sends in a super chat saying, happy born day, Denise, and may the Lord continue to bless you in the years to come. Thank you so much to Nicholas. It's a very generous super chat. And somebody mentions the Rex line. I want to talk about that because I have issues with Ricky Starks calling Keith Lee Rex from Toy Story. Now, a while ago on Twitter, I made this thread of AEW superstars as Toy Story characters. And you cannot look at this roster and say that it is not Luchasaurus. So I had an issue with that. But other than that, this is fine. Moving on. Let's get into this. MJF's 10 lashes to Wardlow. First of all, again, kick-ass presentation for Wardlow. The dude's coming out there looking like hot stuff. He's like, yeah, I'm so buff. Oof. And I'm like, yeah, looking good, Wardlow. Comes out, looks great. MJF, prior to having Wardlow coming out, he's like, I love this because they're in Houston, Texas, and he's trying to say Houston, Texas, but he can't say Houston, Texas without making gagging sounds. I thought that was really funny. The crowd, this was the point of the show where I really felt the crowd did a tremendous job. They were absolutely fired up. They were bringing, like, MJF was getting so much heel heat. It was great. They were chanting asshole. Like, they kept the chant going long and steady. So I was a fan of that. You know, he's calling them fatheads, etc. So this was good. Good heel heat for MJF. But he's always good at getting heat from crowds, even if the crowd is a little bit off. But legitimately, I think Houston did a great job during this. So Wardlow's finally out there. And this was hilarious because MJF is literally whipping him with the freaking whip, and he's not budging. At one point I'm like, damn, is Wardlow liking it? Because he's not bringing the man down. Wardlow is like this big giant brick wall and it's just not going down. Sean Spears gives it a try. Sean Spears can't bring the man down. And finally, you do what you gotta do. What do? You hit the guy in the nutsack. So MJF gives Wardlow a low blow. Wardlow comes crashing down like an avalanche and brings him down. I thought this was hilarious. I thought this was absolutely hilarious. I think it's hilarious that Wardlow could literally get whipped a ton, literally lashed in the back multiple times, does nothing. He's like, yeah, gets hit in the nuts and he's down. I'm sorry, dudes. I'm very sorry, dudes. I'm sorry to all the dudes out there that I've ever gotten hurt in the nuts. I apologize. Let's see what people are saying here. A lot of good stuff. This was a fun, very, very fun segment. Quick and to the point. I didn't think that they didn't prolong this, and that's what I particularly enjoyed. Sean MCG says that you're doing a fantastic job of making Wardlow a big deal. That's legitimately what I think they've done. They've done very well with this, and it's to the point now where you just cannot wait to see Wardlow absolutely demolish MJF and Sean Spears for being a metiche. Major Blood says, I'm really tired of this feud now. I just want to see Wardlow powerbomb MJF and for everyone to move on. I'm not. I've been liking this, guys. I've legitimately been liking this. Sean Williams says, nut shots will always do it. Hal Kaiser says, you'll never understand the pain, Denise. And, oh, man, I was recently watching, I think it was Trevor Noah. Yeah, I was watching Trevor Noah's comedy show the other day. I was rewatching it because I've seen it a bunch of times. And he was talking about, you know, the lady parts. You know how people are always saying, like, don't be the P word? Like, don't be the P word. And he's like, don't be the P word. The P word. No, he didn't say P word. He said the full word. But he said, like, the P word is, like, tougher than, you know, having balls. Like, people are always saying, grow some balls. Don't be a P word. But yet the P word would not go down with one low blow. You give me a low blow, I'll be like, yo, what's up? How's it going? Pow Driver Finisher sends in a super chat saying metiche, metiche, metiche. For those of you who do not speak Spanish, that's essentially a person that is nosy as hell and is just all up on everybody's business. That is what a metiche is. A nosy body. There you go. Alrighty. Now, from here on out, we're going to go into what was another phenomenal match. Possibly, I can't decide which one's match of the night, but it's up there. Sorry, I was really putting some thought into it as to what I wanted to do. I like to come on these shows and have a legitimate, concrete opinion. And I cannot tell you which match I legitimately liked more here. But anyways, Kyle O'Reilly versus Rey Fénix, Owen Hart Cup tournament match. This was two very different styles between Kyle O'Reilly and Rey Fénix that came together very, very nicely. This was so good. I'm a fan of raisins. Now, I'm a fan of raisinettes. That's what it was. I know a lot of people don't like raisins, but you put raisins and chocolate together. It's delicious. That's exactly what I felt about this. This was raisinettes to me. Now, if you don't like raisinettes, screw you. Raisinettes are great. I love this. There was so much good stuff in here. At one point, Kyle O'Reilly turned colors right before our eyes. It was like he was wearing a pink scarf around his neck. The combo of strikes from Kyle O'Reilly to Rey Fénix, he was just hitting him in all directions here. Good stuff. Kyle O'Reilly with the butterfly super suplexes. Great stuff. The hook kick from Rey Fénix followed by the lariat. That was great. Both of them kicking each other at the same time and then just coming up from the mat for a one slap to the face. Both thinking the exact same thing. Rey Fénix doing his thing where he goes on the freaking ropes. And he walks on the ropes, does the Hurricanrana on Kyle O'Reilly, bam, down to the mat. Really good. Rey Fénix going for the cutter, Kyle O'Reilly countering it with submission and getting the win. This was good stuff, guys. I cannot put over this match enough. And it was a show stealer. It was a show stealer. Kyle O'Reilly getting the win here. I'm not surprised. I think at this point, Kyle O'Reilly was probably the person that we were expecting to win this match. I wasn't sure, especially because Rey Fénix, you know, he just came back and, you know, a win would be good, but I don't think he needs it as much as Kyle O'Reilly. I think they're both on different trajectories in AEW and are both doing different things where it makes more sense for Kyle O'Reilly to win this match. And later on, when we talk about, you know, Adam Cole winning and all of that, we'll get into the bracket a little bit more because all of this stuff will end up tying in together. Yeah, we'll talk about the bracket afterwards because we have some updates as well. So here we go. After this, we had Chris Jericho, the Jericho with his Jericho Appreciation Society and the Blackpool Combat Club, along with Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. Now, this was a little long. This was a little long. I think they could have trimmed this down a little bit. Just a tad, trim it down. This is pretty much the one, okay, the one issue that I have with the Jericho Appreciation Society is that Jericho, if it wasn't for, and I know this defeats the purpose, okay, Jericho Appreciation Society, I know Jericho's the main person, we know that, it's the Jericho Appreciation Society, we get it, right? It's in the name. But if Jericho was not the person that he is, not the performer that he is, if he wasn't, let's just say one day Jericho's not there and it's all the other members of the Jericho Appreciation Society, I feel like they don't add very much to the group. And it's only interesting when Jericho is the one on the microphone. I feel like all the other members, they need to step up, man. They need to step up. I don't feel like they add too much to the Jericho Appreciation Society. And maybe that's the point. I don't know. Maybe that's what they want. It's just like the sole focus in Jericho. But it's different because I remember like, like when, okay, so when you compare it to like the Blackpool Combat Club, for example, you know, you have Moxley who has his, you know, he gets his shit in. You have Bryan Danielson who gets his shit in. And then you look at Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. And even though Eddie Kingston is, you know, his promo skills are a lot better than Santana and Ortiz, Santana and Ortiz still bring that support in there with their promo works, where it doesn't really feel like, oh, just because they have the mic that they're essentially dropping the ball. It doesn't feel like that. But it feels like that with the Jericho Appreciation Society, where it's like, if it's not Chris Jericho on the microphone, it's almost like it's just like a flop. So that's my one problem with the Jericho Appreciation Society. Now, Jericho essentially spends several minutes burying all the guys in the ring. You know, he buries William Regal, mentions that, you know, he thought he'd be dead, mentions that he's been fired from every company that he's ever worked for. He tells Eddie Kingston that he should have just stayed home with his wife. And he kind of recycled the same line that he used on his last promo about his wife and pointers and et cetera. So it didn't really hit to me as hard as it did last week, where it was a recycled line. I think maybe a different line would have worked there. But the one part that I think had people kind of going, oh shit, and this was legitimately Chris Jericho when he was talking about Bryan Danielson. So he focuses attention to Bryan Danielson and he tells him, like, you're just a squeaky clean nerd. You never done drugs, you never drank, etc. And he says, you keep hanging out with these guys, you're going to be doing drugs, you're going to be drinking alcohol, and you're going to end up in the same program as John Moxley. And let me tell you, this had the entire Houston audience and everybody back home like, everybody had the same reaction. Now, I am going to go off of the assumption that this was known. I'm going to go off with the assumption that John Moxley's cool with it, like, you know, off camera. That's the assumption I'm going to go with. If he's cool with it, then it's aight with me, all right? And it's aight with the rest of us. But if he's not, then you know what? This is going to make for an even more interesting story here. But that was definitely a moment that I think had people like gasping for air. I did not like William Regal's line about the toothbrushes. I don't really think, like, I know it was supposed to be a burn that he essentially puts like their toothbrushes in his butt. But I'm like, I don't, it's not necessarily a burn for me, in my opinion. I think it's kind of gross. So I'm like, but gross, like in a way where it doesn't make William Regal look that great. So I did not really care for this line. Maybe I just don't get the comedy in all of it, but that one was not for me. This is all essentially leading to them doing a match at Double or Nothing. And Jericho did pitch a stadium stampede, but John Moxley didn't want to call it that. He basically says he's not here for this sports entertainment vortex. And he's like, call it whatever you want. Call it anarchy in the arena, et cetera. Sports entertainment versus wrestling, et cetera. So this is going to lead to that for Double or Nothing. And I am looking forward to it because usually when we have these types of matches, they're really fun and really creative. And we get some unique spots and some unique moments. And I look forward to that stuff. I'm a mark for that stuff. I love all of it. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get continue on with this. All right. So thank you so much to Jake Larson for sending in a very, very lovely and generous super chat. Jake Larson says, happy birthday, Denise. I'm a member of the Denise Appreciation Society. Well, you know what, Jake Larson? I hope you can hold your own in the promo work because I am doing all the promos for the Denise Appreciation Society. Just kidding. Thank you so much, Jake Larson, for always being a huge supporter of this show. I appreciate you, man. And let's see what else we got. Reign of Error says, Jake Hager seems like the fifth wheel in the group, like he's just there. Bro, I forgot he was there. It wasn't until William Regal called him a flower. And it killed me. It killed me when he called him a flower because all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, Jake Hager's back there. Oh, and he's wearing a flowered suit. Okay. The guy is wearing a very out there outfit and still I forgot about him. So bless Jake Hager's heart, but he just needs to bring a little bit more, I think, into this stuff. Nigel Chapman sends in a very generous super chat saying, Denise, we have the same birthday. Happy birthday, dude. Says, quote, I just turned 23 today, but you don't look a day over 22. Love your shows and happy birthday. Thank you so much because, yeah, I would be very, very depressed if I did. But either way, thank you so much. Shout out, happy birthday to a fellow Taurus as well. We got the Bulls. Thank you so much to Nigel. Matthew Pace agrees with me, says, Regal said toothbrush. So weird. Andrew Cook says, the Jericho appreciation is still a little underwhelming, but they are succeeding in making us want to see them get beat up. Thank goodness it's not another stadium stampede. Man, I like the stadium stampedes. I'm a fan. I like that stuff. Guys, I love that stuff. If I'm totally cool with stadium stampedes. Like, sorry, call me a mark, but I'm a fan of the stadium stampede stuff. All right, moving on from here, guys. Oh man, we got some funny comments in here. Andrew Pajama says Jericho and four dudes. Yeah, if you're gonna be rubbing elbows with Jericho and doing, because at the end of the day, Jericho's a star. We know that. And if you're gonna be associated with Jericho, use this opportunity to like shine bright, man. Like, bring something to the table. Make yourself, like, if you're getting the rub, do something with it. Yeah. All right. Let's move on from here. But before I do move on, a couple of announcements really quickly to everybody here. First and foremost, if you've been enjoying the show so far, please, I am here every single Wednesday talking about AEW Dynamite. If you have enjoyed my thoughts, if you enjoyed this coverage, please make sure you guys come here. I'm here every single Wednesday. On top of that, if you want to chat about NXT 2.0, come here on Tuesdays. And Fridays, I'm here for SmackDown and Rampage. This Friday, I will not be here because I'm going on vacation. That is right. I'm going on vacation tonight, and I will not be back until Sunday. So you will not be seeing any videos from me for the next 4 days because I'm finally going on a freaking vacation, and I cannot wait. Cannot wait. On top of that, starting also next week, everyone, my podcast is going to officially be sponsored by Wrestle Rumble. And I'm so happy because it is the first sponsorship that I've ever gotten for this podcast. It is very hard to get sponsors, and I finally got one, and it's a good one. And they're going to be sponsoring me for about a little over 2 months, maybe 2 months and a half. And so I'm going to be pushing Wrestle Rumble here starting next week. So let's be generous. Let's be kind to those sponsors because they keep us going. Now, moving on to our next matchup here. This is for the women's Owen Hart Cup tournament. And we had Britt Baker versus the mysterious Joker. Nobody knew who the Joker was going to be. A lot of people thought that it was going to be Athena. However, earlier in the day, Athena went on a Twitch stream and she said, It ain't gonna be me. So she confirmed that it wasn't gonna be her. Then a lot of people after the debut of John Morrison, they were expecting it to be his wife, Taya, but it ended up being the returning Maki Ito. We haven't seen Maki Ito since March 10th, 2021. And so that was about a little bit over a year ago, a year and about 2 months or so. And so it's been a while since we've seen her. She's been over in DDT. She's been doing her thing over there, but she's finally back. I don't know if the reaction was what they might have expected. I kind of feel like there was a group of people that were like, oh shit, hell yeah, Maki Ito's back. But then I think there were another group of people that kind of felt like maybe this was not necessarily, like, it wasn't a big surprise, where I think people wanted to see more so of a debut versus somebody that they've already seen in AEW. So I feel like we had two different reactions to this. I think a lot of people expected it to be a brand new person, but I'm personally glad that it was Maki Ito because we hadn't seen her in about a year. Like I said, we haven't seen her in about a year, and she did a damn good job during this match. There was a lot of character work in this. She comes out. She hugs Britt Baker. They have this, oh, sweet besties moment. And she kind of pretends like she's going to throw away the match for Britt Baker. Britt Baker falls for it. And Maki Ito's like, nah, this ain't happening like this. And so Maki Ito literally starts crying. I've never seen anybody cry like that ever. She stomps Britt Baker. She stomps Britt Baker. She flips her off. And then afterwards, we go to commercial break. We come back from commercial break. She's fired up. She's literally banging her head on the turnbuckle, screaming like all bloody hell. And it was great stuff, man. Like, she brings energy and character, and she's larger than life when she's in the ring. So even though maybe some people might have been disappointed seeing her as a Joker, I think that she won people over during the match legitimately just with her presence and who she was during this match. So anyways, we saw Britt Baker get the win here, and she advances in the tournament for the women. So let's bring in this women's tournament bracket here. So on the left side, we have Toni Storm and Dr. Britt Baker. We did get to see them do a confrontation at the end of this match. And I'm looking forward to Toni Storm versus Britt Baker. I think this is going to be a hard-hitting, two women full of attitude type of match. So I'm looking forward to this one a whole lot. In terms of who's going to win, this is a tough one because Britt Baker, she's a former AEW Women's World Champion, and I always feel that former champions, they should still be treated with the dignity and respect even after that they don't have the belt, especially if they were a big deal of a champion. And I would consider Britt Baker a big deal AEW Women's, former Women's World Champion, right? So I want to see her go to the finals, but then at the same time, it's like Toni Storm is the new kid on the block here. And, you know, Toni Storm is that person that hasn't reached that level yet. She just got there for AEW. So it would be really cool to kind of see her make it to the finals, maybe even possibly win. On the right side, we have Ruby Soho. She's advanced, and we still don't know who's advancing between Red Velvet and Chris Statlander. Chris Statlander was she replaced Hikaru Shida. That was a whole other drama for last week. That was last week's drama. But I think that Chris Statlander should defeat Red Velvet, but I have a feeling they're going to make it Red Velvet to Ruby Soho for the finals. And either way, I'm expecting Ruby Soho to go all the way to the finals. And I have a feeling that it may be Ruby Soho versus Toni Storm. I have a feeling that's the way that they're going to go, with Toni Storm possibly winning the entire thing. As of right now, and where we are with this bracket, that's kind of the direction that I am leaning towards. We have a super chat here. Thank you so much to Roberto Arsenal, who's a good friend of the show, who says, Feliz cumpleaños, Denise. Makiro is a lot of fun. I enjoyed this match. Britt and Adam Cole win the Owen Cup. Loving how this pay-per-view is forming. Interesting that you see Britt winning this. This could be, again, a way to keep her, you know, at the top of the mountain in AEW for the women. You know, she's not holding gold, but she could win this tournament and, you know, kind of keep her up there. Thank you so much to Roberto for sending in this very generous super chat. Jake Larson says, I love Maki Ito and watch a lot of her Japan stuff. She's a good surprise when you aren't expecting a surprise, but the Joker is an advertised surprise for weeks, so I can understand why some were let down. And now, we got Zeno Hour says he agrees. He's expecting Toni Storm, Ruby Soho. Makes sense. We'll see. We'll see. Shady Havoc also believes that we might be seeing Britt and Adam Cole winning both with their respective brackets. Now, we'll pull up the men's bracket afterwards, but let's get into this Serena Deeb promo, because there was some good stuff in here. Now, Tony Schiavone comes out and he's promoting the 3-year anniversary of AEW. And then Serena Deeb comes out and she basically calls out Tony Schiavone for some of the comments that he made last week, basically saying that Serena Deeb said that he said that Thunder Rosa could defeat Serena Deeb. So Serena Deeb is, you know, she's pissed, she's angry, etc. So she calls him an idiot. She goes off on him. Then she calls out Dustin Rhodes. Dustin Rhodes goes out there and she basically tells him that she lost respect for him after the comments that he made in favor to Thunder Rosa. And then, so there was one moment where she might have stumbled like one word. So it really wasn't a big deal, but she really, really picked up this promo and it ended up being really freaking good, because in the end, she was talking about, I'm going to read this verbatim, guys. She said, quote, "You know my trials and tribulations. You know how hard it was to be a woman in the business in that era and still got no respect. I put breast implants into my body just to satisfy some old perverts. I was like, whoa, girl, she went there. She freaking went there. She talks about shaving her head bald, and she basically just tells Dustin, you've seen all this shit that I went through and still get no respect, and then you go out here and basically say that Thunder Rose is going to beat me. Okay, so this was really good. She's angry. Finally, Thunder Rosa comes out, and I'm legitimately surprised that they had her come out to no music because they're in Houston. They're in Houston, Texas. So I was at least expecting them to like hit the music so Thunder Rosa could get a pop. She came out. The pop wasn't as massive, I think, because a lot of people might have not realized that she was actually coming out because they didn't get the music going. Us on the TV, we knew because, damn, they panned the camera, so we know. But I don't think there was that instant moment for the fans there. But she goes in there, and Serena Deeb hits her with the belt, lays her out. That's it, man. This has been interesting, guys. This story has been interesting. I think they need to showcase Thunder Rosa a little bit more, showcase her more as a dominant champion. I think that has been my criticism from the start. Serena Deeb did a great job today with the promo work and all of that, but I feel like just because there wasn't like, how do I say this? They need to give Thunder Rosa the platform where she feels like a champion right now. So I do hope the presentation of her as a champion continues to grow. I think she should be put out there a little bit more versus her coming out today with no music and then just getting taken out just like that. I don't know. I think they need to do a little bit more there to help her out because we all know that Thunder Rosa could be a great champion, but they need to also build the presentation around her to help it, you know? They did a good job, I think, for the most part, like in the beginning with Britt Baker. They kind of lost it towards the end, but Britt Baker at the start of her championship run, it was good. They kind of lost it at the end, but the start felt very, very solid, and I think that's what they need right now for Thunder Rosa. We have a super chat from Eddie Torres. Thank you so much to Eddie. He didn't send in a comment, but a very generous super chat. Thank you so much, Eddie. I really thank you for that as well. And let's see what else we got here. This is from Christopher, who says, I like when a promo feels like both a shoe and someone speaking their truth. That's how you get stuff over. I'm glad some people hate it. She's a heel. They're marks. I agree with you. I like promos like this. I like when there's a little bit of like, like, should we worry? Should we be concerned here? Because this last week, we've been getting some interesting comments on, you know, whether it be on commentary, whether it be from, I mean, last week, was it 2 weeks ago? God, I don't remember. When freaking MJF did that line where he basically said that Tony Khan didn't want to talk about his contract. Then we get this report afterwards about, you know, him being a little unhappy with AEW. And then this freaking on Raw on Monday, we get this comment about Sasha Banks and Naomi. That ends up being true. There's a lot going on that's being said on the air where it might tie into some truth behind the scenes. So that's fun. That is fun. Eddie Torres, thank you so much. Sends in a super chat saying, happy birthday, Ma. Thank you very much. Thank you for the very kind comment. And let's see what else we got here. Let's see. This is from Kakarot 4739, who says, that feels more like how Hangman's champion run has been. When he's there, he's awesome. Just not enough of him. I agree. We could see more of Hangman Page. He's had a lot of great moments as champion. So I don't feel like we should say like there's no great moments, but I get what you mean where like, there was that heavy criticism in the beginning of his run too, where it almost felt like you didn't really see him that often. But then we did get some great match, you know, Bryan Danielson, Lance Archer. We got some good stuff in there. Alrighty, everybody. Now, let's see. Let me make sure that I got, let's get this comment. This one's from Joe Loriotto, who says, I'm not a fan of how they built the feud, but I still like the promos leading up. We know the match will be good. Rosa just needs more presence as the champion. Agreed. And you know, you do know the match is going to be good. At the end of the day, you've got two really good workers there, and they're going to put on a hell of a match, and I think it's going to be aggressive. I think it's going to be a good one, a really good one. All righty, guys. Last but not least, we got the main event, Adam Cole versus Jeff Hardy. Considering that it was the main event, I didn't think that it stacked up to some of the other matches that we saw on the night. I thought that Kyle O'Reilly, Rey Fénix was a lot better of a match, especially considering that it was part of the tournament. So I do think this match could have been a little bit better. Adam Cole attacked Jeff Hardy right before the match started. Jeff did a Swanton. Adam Cole moves out of the way. He ends up hitting the boom and he wins the match. Afterwards, we literally get a post-match melee between the Bucks, Sting, and Darby, and it all hell breaks loose. Let's talk about this tournament for the men's now. I'm about to bring up the bracket. Before I do, Magnum Waite sends in a super chat saying, happy birthday, Denise. This is my first time watching the show and I'm really having a good time. Hope today has been good for you. Thank you so much. That makes me very happy. I know that it's hard to give a new podcaster a chance. Trust me, I get it. It's hard to get used to a new voice. So thank you so much for taking a chance, coming on to the show and checking it out. And for sending in a super chat. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's bring it up. Here we go. This is that's the women. Here we go. This is the men's. All right. So Adam Cole advances. So he's going to be in the finals. Now we just need Kyle O'Reilly and Samoa Joe. Even though I think that Samoa Joe is like the person that I want to see win, I definitely think that it's going to be Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole. It makes sense, guys. Story-wise, this makes the most sense. Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole. As for the winner, I don't know if they're going to go with Adam Cole. I feel like Adam Cole would be the person they would go with, but I feel like if they want to give some... I feel like Adam Cole, though, I don't know if he needs the... Jesus, I can't decide. I think Adam Cole, if they do Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole, I do think that Adam Cole should win the tournament. If it's Adam Cole, Samoa Joe, because I'm a bigger Samoa Joe fan, I would go with Samoa Joe, but I would be okay if they went with Adam Cole. I'm a little bit of a bigger fan of Samoa Joe, so that's why I selfishly want to go and root for him, but I have a feeling it's definitely going to be Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, and I do think Cole's going to win this tournament as of right now. This is kind of the feeling that I'm getting here. Alrighty, and let's go ahead and see what we got. Sean Williams says, makes sense, in NXT, I hate this to be honest. That's true. So many of these NXT guys, man. We got, oh shoot, let me look at this again. Yeah, three of them. Well, and Jeff Hardy wasn't on NXT, so you don't count him. But yeah, all three of those NXT guys all pretty much were doing stuff around the same time too, which is kind of funny. Damn, that's crazy. Alrighty, so I think this is it. I'm going to read some final comments here, and then we'll wrap up the show. So get your last thoughts in, and then we'll go ahead and wrap this up. Let's see what we got. This is from Tony, who says, overall, AEW Dynamite was an above average 3.5 out of 5 stars. You're the second person who says that. The 3.5? Got it. I got it. Shady Havoc says, I'd love Joe, but I'd rather see some of the lesser stars win stuff. I get what you're saying. Like, it would be a bigger deal, I think, for Kyle O'Reilly to get this win than Adam Cole. But Adam Cole, to me, feels like, at the end of the day, he's a bigger star. So I feel like you might just want to continue to contribute to that star factor. So, hey, you can go multiple ways here. It all depends on what they want to, what they want the end game to be here. And Brad Smith says MJF's bronzer was so obvious. His bronzer was definitely, it was definitely strong. He brought the bronzer game on. Christopher Marino sends in a very generous super chat saying, just want to wish a Dynamite birthday. Thank you so much. All these podcast parties, we finally had a birthday party. Thank you, Christopher Marino. Luis Ariza sends in a super chat saying, happy birthday, Denise. Thank you so much, Luis Ariza. Alrighty. Now that is, Matthew Pace wants to know my thoughts on the potential Young Bucks versus Hardy Boys match. They gotta do it. They gotta do it because that's what the people want. All right, guys, I think I got everything here on today's show. Let me see if... I'm trying to check if all of our matches are... Hold on one second, guys. I'm checking something on F4W because... here we go. Let me make sure. All right, here it is. So this Friday, the matchups for AEW Rampage are going to be Jon Moxley and Brian Danielson versus Dante Martin and Matt Sydal. That should be a good match, actually. Owen Hart Tournament Quarterfinal, Red Velvet versus Chris Statlander. House of Black versus Evil Uno 10 and Fuego del Sol, Sean Spears in action, and a Hook and Danhausen promo. So it's looking like it's going to be an okay show. I will not be watching because I will be on vacation. So tweet me, let me know what goes on. And that's pretty much it. And I think I got everything here that I wanted to say. That is it, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the show. I hope you guys had an awesome time. If you did, help me spread the word. Let the people know you guys had a good time here on Speak Now Pro Wrestling. And I will see you guys back here when I return from vacation on Tuesday. Bye, everybody. Have a great week.